Hello and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today I'm joined by Jeremy Murrah from Sydney, Australia. You might know Jeremy from his online courses on Skillshare and some of the teaching and helpful content and tips he provides through his Instagram and other social channels like YouTube. Jeremy has kind of caught my attention over the last few years for making courses and the such passion he has for teaching as well, which has really drawn me into kind of inviting him onto today's show. So we're going to be talking a lot about how he got started, mindset behind courses and things like that as well. Before we get into today's show though, I've got to drop some links to our sponsors for today's show. These guys are going to be Skillshare and the Logo Package. So as we're going to be talking about, we're going to talk about Skillshare a lot today on today's show. And if you'd like to try it out and check out some of Jeremy's courses, you can go to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign to get 2 free months of the platform. You can try it out if you're a bit unsure or a bit cautious about learning from this kind of online e-learning platform, then use these 2 free months to check it out completely free of charge and you can cancel at any time. I highly recommend it to go and check out firstly Jeremy's courses, but also people like Aaron Draplin, Gary Vee, Paula Scher, and all those other awesome teachers and legends of the industry. My girlfriend is dancing in the background and it's very distracting. The other sponsor for today's show is Logo Package and their plugin Logo Package Express. As you've already heard, Michael's been on the show, the creator of Logo Package Express, and he and his tool has basically saved me hundreds of hours exporting files and preparing files for my clients. To get 20% off, obviously this is going, if you've just missed the 30% off discount, you can now get 20% off with the code in the description. That gives me a small kickback as well, but I'm more interested in sharing this plugin with as many people as you can get it, because it saves you literally, as I've said, hundreds of hours exporting files, and it will teach you so much about what files clients will need as well. So to check that out, check those 2 links in the description, save yourself some money, learn a new skill, get some free access to a platform, and let's get started with today's show with Jeremy. Hello and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today I'm joined by Jeremy Murrah all the way from Sydney, Australia. Jeremy, how are we doing today?
How you doing, man? Doing great, feeling great. And it's a privilege to be on your podcast today. And I'm so thankful and I'm looking forward to chatting with you, man.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen you online for a long, long time. I mean, it must be easily going back 3 years at this point. I recognize your name. And I think this is going to be a really interesting show for the people at home, more because of the way you've positioned yourself online and the types of content you put out into the world and the courses, which you're most, I would say, famous for, most people know you the most for. And that's what I want to dive into today. So before we get started though, Jeremy, who are you? What do you do? What are the people at home going to know you for? Give us that 10,000 foot, 20,000 foot view of yourself.
Sure, 100%. So yeah, my name's Jeremy. I'm a designer. I've been designing for around 5 years now. I got a bachelor in graphic design back in 2015. And at the moment, I'm mainly a brand identity designer and a content creator. And yeah, I work with clients, I help clients out, and also work on my own personal brand. As Connor, you mentioned briefly about courses and YouTube and all that cool stuff. But yeah, pretty much that's what I do. I love design. It's a passion, but it's a privilege to be able to be in the creative field. And yeah, I've been loving it so much. And at the moment, I'm running my business full time as a designer working from home, which is really good. So the lockdowns aren't really an unusual thing for me. I've been doing it for a little bit now. So, that's a little bit about me. I'm married, I'm 25, and been born and raised in Sydney my whole life, pretty much.
Yeah. And for people with context, we are reaching the point of the growth curve right now for Corona. So I'm sure it's going to come up in the conversation at some point today. But you're totally right, man. The fact you can work from home and have the ability to do that, I'm so grateful for that at the moment. It does worry me for all the people who can't do that. But at the same time, I'm like, well, if I'm here and I can manage myself, then I have more time maybe to help other people too. Because obviously when you're working from home, if people talk about this whole idea of like, oh, you got to get a routine, it's really actually quite challenging. And people are like, nah, it's not difficult. It's easy. Just get up in your PJs and turn your laptop on. But it's really not that easy, is it?
Nah, to be honest, there is some effort you have to do and like you have to stay focused and habits do help to an extent, but it's like, for me, it's all about mindset. Like if you have to have a goal and you have to know where you're going, your end vision. So then each day, like, yeah, I got to show up every day, take action every day. And each little step is making progress to, you know, your dream and your goal. So 100%, it's not as always as easy as you think, but it's a lot of fun because you're growing along the journey.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully more people are going to be able to take up this remote or work from home lifestyle, because I think it's so much more beneficial just to your productivity often. I mean, I have conversations with my dad recently, who's like an engineer, and they're just trying to bring in this whole open office type thing.
Yeah.
You know that scenario that was proven to be awful for productivity about 10 years ago?
Does
not work at all. So let's get down to where I originally kind of saw you, Jeremy. Because I say, I've recognized you online for maybe probably 2 to 3 years at this point.
Yeah.
And I think the first time I saw you online was actually through Logo Inspirations, was through an IG Stories post Jonathan posted about your, I think it was an esports or logo design course or something like that. And I was really intrigued because someone who I could recognize through pictures being like, oh, well, they're fairly young as well. And being like, okay, so this dude's got a course, let's see what it's about. And it looked really interesting. And after that point, obviously I've seen you around a lot, but I don't really know much else about yourself other than that you do courses. And so where did this all start? Because I want to know more, obviously, about the courses, and the people at home are going to want to know that too. But where did you get into design? Because on your website, it says you've also worked in agency. So you've done a lot, like, it seems like.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, I have done. I have a bit of experience, doing a lot of stuff. But also, I'm an ever learner. So I'm always learning and I'm on the journey like everybody else. But obviously, there's higher levels. And as you grow, you grow. But yeah, pretty much so. As part of my college course that I did, which was like a 2-year course, it's like fast tracked. One of the projects you had to do was in the last year or the last semester, you had to do a major project. And that major project, I decided to do it on my own personal brand, right? So what I pretty much did, I created jeremymirror.com and I created my website and a YouTube channel and everything and like business cards and all that stuff. And that was actually part of my project. And my idea was that I wanted to take that and make it like my full-time thing, because I always, obviously I wanted to go work in agencies and stuff, but I just always felt like, you know, I want to do something big. I want to have big impact in the world and have a lot of influence and help people. Right. So that's sort of how it started. And the thing was, I watched a lot of YouTube, and one person that really stood out to me was Sean West, or he's also known as Sean McCabe, which I'm sure you know. And he had a lot of stuff about creative businesses, how to run your creative business, how to, you know, make money with clients and teaching and products. And I found one of his videos on YouTube, and he really inspired me to, you know, start this entrepreneurial journey. And then I started hearing from people like Gary Vee, all those big entrepreneur guys and big names. And they really inspired me to like start my own business. So when I finished that major project at the end, I pretty much launched my brand. I started the YouTube channel, started creating content, and then naturally all these other things flowed out. So in 2016, that's when I like started like everything, because I finished 2015 and got my certificate like on January or February in 2016, and then started all that. Then after I started doing YouTube for about 6 months, I started doing Skillshare. Then from Skillshare, I started doing products as well. And I bought a course from Dustin Lee from Retro Supply Co. And I started selling products on Creative Market. And that's how I started making money on there. And then, Skillshare, I just kept posting consistently. I tried to go every few months. And then I became a top teacher on there. Now I'm the top teachers are the top 1% of Skillshare. So you get into this private club, which is like in a Slack group and all that. And they pretty much facilitate and help you and help the top teachers produce the best quality content they can. But yeah, that's how it really started, man. And then obviously, I know I'm obviously talking a bit long now, but and then as I was doing that, I was freelancing part-time on the side, but then I got a couple internships. And then from those internships, I got hired, like I was freelancing for that same company, and I was working on packaging design for like Kellogg's, Peter's ice cream, like all these type of FMCG type of packaging in Australia. Even like Aldi, and I don't mean the car, I mean like the grocery store.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of German brands. Like I was working on some packaging for that, which is pretty cool. So I learned really fast and hard. Obviously I made mistakes and things like that, but, I learned a lot. And then one of my teachers owned a studio and he started giving me freelance work as well. And then in 2018, just before I got married, I worked at a social research agency for about 2 years. I left it last October, and that's when I decided to start doing my business full time. And obviously I'm out, I don't live with my parents anymore. So yeah, it was a big decision for me, but I made that leap and now I'm doing my business full time. So that's sort of how I got started in all this. And hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, it does. And you were kind of lifted straight out of school, like, which is interesting because you've gone to school, spent 2 years being taught, you're practicing these projects, doing these skills, learning these things, and your immediate direction was to say, well, what can I do to help other people with this? And a lot of people I think would immediately just do the route of internship, agency work, build myself up, da-da-da-da-da-da, 10 or 15 years, and then turn around and go, actually, I do have some stuff I could potentially share here. Mm-hmm. And what was the video you saw, just out of interest, from Sean McKay from the Sean West Business Channel Group? What was that that inspired you the most? What was in there that kind of caught your attention? Because you've mentioned Sean McCabe and then Gary Vee, and for most people, those are completely polar opposite types of people. Sean's like a much more introverted, quiet person. Gary is like in your face, gonna smack you around with a fish type dude. So yeah, what was it that caught your attention there?
Like, obviously, it wasn't just them. Like, obviously, I sort of grew up in an environment where I had mentors from church. So, like, one of my main pastors, he was very, he's like a global mentor, but he's an influencer. And he also influenced me because, you know, he talked about not just spiritual stuff, but obviously things regarding business and like how to grow yourself and have, it's all about like having a success mindset and helping others and giving and, you know, all this stuff. So that he helped me as well. But the one video, I think it was like a conference. I'm not sure if it was...
would have been Sean West conference then.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was Sean West or Creative... what's that one called? Creative
the conference. One by ConvertKit.
That one.
I know which one you mean.
Craft and... Yeah, I think it's Craft and Commerce or something. I think it was one of those ones. And he was talking about like four... He was giving like four steps and then he was like showing you how to earn money as like freelancing and like how to talk with clients and stuff. And I think it's like, I think the main thing was you can make money running your own business. You don't have to work for an agency and you don't have to work under someone. You can actually do your own thing and you can make money freelancing and doing products and courses. And that really sparked me. I'm like, yeah, there's actually more to this. I don't have to like go work in an agency, even though I do recommend go work a year or two or whatever, and actually learn the systems and processes because you can learn from that. But yeah, I just knew that I felt like I had a deeper purpose, you know, not just to do the 9 to 5 and be like everybody else. Like I don't want to be that same. I don't want to live a mediocre life. I want to live a life of substance, a life of purpose, you know, a life of success and influence. So having that mindset from my mentors and then started hearing these other business guys in the creative space and like content creation space, then that just like pushed me to be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to actually pursue this thing, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And that all makes sense. Also, it sounds like you had a very cool pastor. 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 I can't remember. Anyway.
That's a bad man.
but it's interesting that you're also part of the church, which is something that is not very open, as most people share, particularly online. And I'm really glad to hear that you've been able to find some mentorship there, especially on that business side, because obviously success mindset and building up something that is... more skill set based, like actually going, you have direction, you have hope, you have passion. Those are all things I would recognize in terms of being skills that the church and religious entities teach. But when it comes to the business side and building influence and speaking and that type of stuff, that's not skills I would have ever thought they'd be open to teaching. It was not very common anyway.
Yeah, definitely 100%. And I feel like you need to be a person of value because then someone will always pay for that value, you know? And I believe you need to learn multiple things. You shouldn't just learn like read one book and just teach that. No, like you have to get knowledge and get wisdom, right? So it's good to read books and, you know, search out all these different topics. I read stuff about science. I read stuff about self-development, entrepreneurship, and like all these online stuff and all these different things. And it helps me build my character, but actually help others because I can relate with multiple people groups. You know what I mean? I can relate with people differently. And yeah, that's just my mindset. I just feel like it's, you'll carry so much more and you'll be able to help more people instead of just like, you know, you can only teach this one thing, like this one message, you know? But yeah, it really helped me out. Like obviously I went to college in 2015, 2016, but obviously there was a part of my life where for about 2 to 3 years, I did go through drugs and all those things. And I did fail university for 2 years. And that was between the age of 18 and 21. So that was just before I found that right course and I started getting out of all that stuff. And I had depression and all those things. And then, the church, obviously I don't see it as a religion. I see it as a relationship with God. But, everyone can believe or disagree or believe what they want. But that having a relationship with God really helped me overcome that and then really helped me launch me into doing business and stuff. Like, that's just my honest opinion. My life has just been transformed from there. And then all the other things started flowing. Like, I started getting ideas for, doing courses, doing business and all these things. And just doors started opening up, man. And I just stepped out in faith and into the unknown and just started taking action and it just started flowing. It was like a flow to it. And I'm just really thankful. But yeah, man.
Yeah. It sounds like you're really grateful for that opportunity to build yourself, but also find some direction from it. Because obviously, as you say, your relationship with God is something that's very important to you. And obviously everyone has their own way of viewing that. But
definitely
the idea that you've been able to manifest some of those teachings in ways that can help you right here, right now is really good to hear, whatever that is. I mean, I'm personally not a religious person in any capacity. I'm pretty agnostic. The idea that some greater power exists is I'm always open to. I mean, I always think about that scene in Men in Black where at the end of the movie, there's like giant creatures playing with marbles that are galaxies and we're in the marbles. That's something that I could imagine being real.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's always, what's the way of putting this? There's always opportunity out there to find something that can help you. And it's finding whatever that trigger point is going to be, whatever that story is going to be, whatever that manifesto or religious text or whatever it is that can help guide you. And that's really awesome to hear that you found that.
Thanks. So, appreciate it.
Let's keep going about these courses, man, because this is where I really wanted to touch down on, because I think it's super important to know that you are a top teacher on Skillshare, which is a very, as you said, 1% of the people on Skillshare who have courses are in that group. And that proves that obviously people find your courses valuable, find your content valuable, and also that Skillshare recognizes you for who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
So with these first few courses you put out, I mean, I said at the beginning, you've got around 20 at the start, I think. I looked on your page and maybe there's more that have been taken down or adjusted over time. But what was it like setting up that first course? And why did you see that courses might be the future of what you're doing? Because for many people, as you said, going out of school, they're going to go on straight to that agency rather than saying, well, let's build something that could potentially make me money while I sleep or even just help other people.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like people, they feel what they don't understand or they don't want to take risks or like their circumstance or whatever. But I saw all the opportunity because obviously like I grew up as a tech savvy guy. My dad was an IT guy. Right. And then my mom was sort of creative. So I had that mix and I was always we always grew up with the computer and stuff. So obviously I'm always online, always on YouTube. And I realized doing info products and doing like digital, everything online is the future. Right. So why not invest in something that can be evergreen, that can be up online, that anyone can access? Because eventually, like, I'm pretty sure the whole world has the internet except for like probably parts in the Amazon or whatever, so
something like 50% of the world have access to the internet at some point during a week, I think, but I can't. Something like 3.5 billion or something like that. It's not crazy. The whole world, but it's still a massive number.
Definitely, like 3 billion, that's crazy, dude. So I just saw ahead and saw into my future and be like, okay, this this is going to be beneficial to my, my business, my family, my personal brand, but also be able to reach more people. And obviously like I saw that, you can make money online and I just wanted to try it out. So I'm like, why not give it a go? And obviously I did research. I saw like other sites like Udemy and a few other places, but I'm like, nah, Skillshare looks like a proper branded thing. They look very professional and all this stuff. So I'm like, why don't I just go with this? And honestly, I just went for it. Like, I just tried to do my best with what I had. I had a camera from my dad that he gave me for my birthday. And I was just using that. I had a lamp. I didn't really have any lights. We bought some cheap tripod. I shared a room with my brother for 22 years. So I had to record when he wasn't home, when he went to work or when he was at the gym or whatever. So I literally had to record in this little corner and you can see it in the videos. And it was like, I just used what was in my hand. You know what I mean? And I just stepped out and just did it. And my first paycheck was actually $49. That's it. That was my first paycheck. And it was that was August 2016. So it wasn't much, but it was better than nothing. I was like, wow, this is so awesome. Like, I'm like, wow, you can actually make courses and people find it valuable. And then I started getting reviews and like, oh, this is really cool. And then I'm like, okay. And then I made it like my goal to be like, no, I want to keep this consistent. I want to actually do this. And I started getting better and better and started investing in better gear. I started making more money. And just started investing it back into myself. It's not like I went and splurged it and spent money. I just always try to invest back into myself or invest in my business. And obviously I believe in generosity and giving to people and helping people, because giving is living. But yeah, I was just seeing how I can provide so much value and just doing it consistently. And then Skillshare started noticing like, oh yeah, this is really good. You know, you're good in the design space and stuff. That's how I got invited to join the top teachers. And ever since then, I've just been doing it. And then now my courses are generating like a decent amount of money. And the funny thing is, it's not about ego or bragging or anything. The funny thing is my most recent payment for February was actually my largest payment I've ever made on Skillshare.
Well, and congratulations for that, man. Congrats.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And the funny thing is like, obviously people are like, oh, coronavirus and businesses are struggling, but it's so interesting that like, I'm actually like doing well from this income, you know, and I'm really thankful and grateful for that. But yeah, I just think we need to utilize technology. We need to take advantage and see the opportunities and look ahead in the future, like 5-10 years. You know what I mean?
Let's rewind that a sec. What was your first course about? Because it makes sense. What you're describing makes sense. Because in terms of you picked up what you had, you really just had the drive to do this. And probably why that course started to make you money was because people could see the passion behind it and the value behind that as well, regardless of the fact it was filmed in a shared bedroom with your brother, probably running around in his gym gear half the time. But what was that first course about? Because obviously you grow and you've made loads of new ones. Your most recent one about Instagram carousels came out on Skillshare in the last few weeks, I believe. Where did it start then for you?
So my first course was vector illustration, design a magical scene with shape, color, and shading. Right now that class, it was a 40 minute class, 965 students at the moment. And I love vector illustration and I love Illustrator. So I just stuck to what I knew. I'm like, okay, why don't I just make a cool like vector illustration with like some gradients and shading and stuff, because I found like a lot of beginners are not really good with like lighting and shading and all that type of stuff. And I loved concept art for like movies and games, and I would always like download the art books and like go on YouTube and look at the tutorials, even though I wasn't like, I had a Wacom and I wasn't really, you know, wanted to go into digital painting and art, because that's sort of like animation. It's not really big in Australia. So I'm like, no, I want to stick with graphic design. But I loved illustration. I'm like, okay, let's make something cool and interesting that people can do, like a flat, it was sort of like a flat illustration design. But yeah, I just did that and people liked it. And I gave them, you know, simple tips, how to use the pen tool, shape tools, color tools. And yeah, it really resonated with people because it was simple. And I try and break down things a lot. Sometimes I would speak a bit fast, but over the years I've learned to slow it down a little bit. But yeah, that was my first class, man.
And clearly you hit a nerve with that, because obviously it's a fairly popular class even today. And as you said, with the vector illustrations, you were using what you knew and sourcing a small problem that people were having and doing something about it. And the reason I ask is because many people at home would go, well, I have nothing to share. I don't know where I'd even start. I don't know how I'd pick a topic. How do I assess the market and find a gap to see what's going on? And from what you're describing there, it sounds like you realized there was a problem with a skill set you already have at a potentially beginner's level, and you just did what you could with what you had, rather than thinking that it has to be some Skillshare original Aaron Draplin level type recording.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I just believed in myself and be like, no, well, I have something to give. Like I have some value, and I'm not competing with anyone else. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else or whatever, but it's like, I can add my own spin onto this. It's like one of the reasons why I started YouTube. I saw tutorials and they were just bad. Like obviously some were just like robot voices. The English was bad, or the audio was bad, or they didn't show you the steps. So they didn't break it down. And I'm like, I can do this better. I'm like, okay, I can add value. I can do this better. I can add my own personality into it, and just felt like, yeah, I could do it. And I just did it and tried it out. And then I saw it was working, and I just kept doing it. But yeah, I think people overthink, or they just feel like their content, no one's going to like their content or their work or whatever. But at the end of the day, you won't know until you try. You know, you have to do, you have to create, you have to take action. That's how you build momentum, build motivation. It's by taking action, and then you just tweak as you go. That's how you learn. You tweak and you experiment as you go. Don't see things as a failing, but you see it as a learning experience or a learning journey as you're going. So yeah.
Do you think that's what's holding most people back then? Is that overthinking side?
Yes. One of the things I feel like it's like analyst paralysis. They get locked up and they stagnate, or they feel like overwhelmed, or they just think there's so much ideas already out there that someone's already done it, or, you know, their ideas is not worthy or worth, you know, listening to. So at the end of the day, I feel like it goes back to mindset, but yeah, I feel like one of those things, you know, hold people up and hold people in just their head, and then they just don't take action, you know, and they'll never know because they're not taking action. So.
Yeah. And when you wind down to that level, you just, as you say, you get stuck in analysis paralysis, you go round and round and round, and no, you don't even take one step forward, let alone trying to figure out Correct. How to tweak and grow things from there. And now jumping forward to 2020, let's say you put out a bunch of different courses.
Yep.
Including your most recent, which is the Instagram Carousels, which a link, guys, will be down in the description for. You can go and check out Jeremy's course there. But the passion and drive I've seen, you, obviously you've improved those over time, and your desire to do this, as obviously you get that positive feedback coming through. How long did that process really start to come in to say, actually, this is something I could do maybe full time, or something that I'm getting enough positive feedback here to say, I want to keep making this? Was it that first course, or did it take a few goes, a few attempts to really realize we can do something here? This could be the future of me and your own business.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it was that first course. As soon as I saw that it worked, I'm like, no, this is legit. This is not a lie. It's not a myth. Like, it's actually a real thing. You can make money from courses. You can make money from products. You can make money from YouTube. You know what I mean? And once you see it working, it's like, okay, it's, you can replicate it. You can replicate it. So it's like, it's not just for all these, you know, people, you know, in America, or these big names, or what, these big entrepreneurs. No, it's actually for the everyday person. You don't have to, you know, be famous or be known or be on a stage. It's not about a platform. It's about, you know, adding value to the world, adding value to the community. And just believing yourself that you can, you know, reap what you sow, because what you sow is, you know, you're going to get a harvest from that. So ever since that first one, I'm like, nah, this is it. And I just like, you know, really believed in myself and just kept pursuing that, because I'm like, no, I see the future. Like, I don't see the 3 months, the 6 months, the 1 year. I'm like, no, I'm looking ahead to how I picture and see myself. You know, I visualize myself in my mind, what level I want to be at, you know what I mean? And that helps me just keep pushing forward. And yeah, it's a lot of work. Sometimes it's not easy. It's challenging. Like, you know, coming up with ideas, recording, editing, doing all this stuff. On top of that, you got family stuff. You know, if you're married and you got your wife, you got kids, all that stuff. Like, so, and I have to go to gym, like all these things you have to balance, but it's worth it, because not only are you helping others, but you're growing yourself personally as a person and as a business person as well. So it's like you're increasing on multiple levels. So it's like, why would you stop when you're growing so fast, you know?
And that first sale really was what pushed you, which is interesting. And well, the first sale, I mean, the first kind of paycheck, the positive feedback. And as you say, when you teach, you build on the skills that you already have, but you also reinforce those skills. And I'm sure that you feel like you know more now having done those courses than if you just kind of read a book.
Definitely, like 100%. Like, I love books, I love courses, and I invest a lot of money in all that stuff. But it's proven scientifically, like, that there's something called the cone of learning. And at the top of that cone, the people who retain the most amount of information and turn it into knowledge is actually the people who teach. Right? You only retain 10 to 20% of what you read. So the people who are actually taking action and teaching what they just learned, or applying it by taking action on it, That's how you retain information, and then it gets translated into knowledge, because then it becomes a part of you, part of your mind, because you understand how it works. You get it? So then it becomes like practical knowledge, which is really cool. So yeah, like that's how I feel. It's just once you do it, you're just constantly building upon, you know, layers, like brick, layers of brick. And the funny thing is, like, when you get that positive feedback, like when you get like that one review or couple of reviews and like, oh, keep it up. Like, I've had comments, people say like, wow, you deserve, like on YouTube, they're like, oh, you deserve some like millions of subs, or you're so underrated or whatever. And I'm like, wow, thank you. I'm honored. Like, you know, I'm so thankful. That's really cool. But that just pushed me forward to be like, nah, I got to keep doing this. You know, I got all these people. You got to see, like, if I don't do this, there's all these people in the future that could miss out on learning something or being blessed by what I have to share. You know what I mean? And it's not saying I'm the best or whatever. It's about, you know, uplifting people so they can live the same life of victory and success, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting that you kind of clarified that point, because I was just about to jump on you for the idea of they are blessed by what I have to share. And that's a very, like, that's something that you might, if I think back to like medieval history, imagine like your Catholic priest being like,
language, yeah.
Yeah, like is screaming down people's necks, you are blessed to be here to learn from my teachings. Da, 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 da. But you made a good point, Nate. You clarified that, which is that it's in terms of you are aiming to provide your intention, your proposition here is to help other people grow. It's not a, you are going to be blessed to be in my presence, like medieval king-esque. Yeah.
Definitely.
Which I think is great. It's more of a case of exactly what you said, which is you take that comment of you're underrated, which is something that I've experienced in the past, which I'm sure many people have as well, whether I have a small account or have just started, that kind of comment never gets old, because it means that someone thinks what you're creating is so valuable that it should be shared with more people.
100%. And I feel like every single person in the world has value, has something to offer, even if it's a small insight or a small idea or a thought or a revelation or something they learned. Every single person has value to give, and it's all about giving, right? And everyone has something to share. No one is left out. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. Like, I believe that truly, like, everyone has something to give, and, you know, life is all about, you know, loving people and giving and sharing in community. And once we understand that, then, you know, the whole world will be better off, you know?
Totally. And I agree with you on that more because I've seen the value of doing something similar as well, and have been through that dip of, oh, I know some stuff. Oh, actually, I know nothing. Because there's a really good, I can't remember what the graph is. It's something like the knowledge or mastery graph, where you learn stuff and then you actually realize, oh, mastery ladder or whatever it is. And you realize that you actually know nothing. And it's like, and the two choices at that point are to either get extremely depressed, which is what happened to me, or you end up kind of building on those and chasing that even further. And one tends to lead to the other. But that's exactly the mindset I think many people have, is that they realize they know something, but they don't know enough, in inverted commas, to be at the stage to share it.
But that's the thing. But I feel like they should just share it. You know, even if it's something so small, like it's just a seed, right? If you just have one little seed, that can produce a tree, right? But if you don't plant it, you know, then it's not going to produce anything. So you can't see the fruit or the result unless you share that thing or try that thing or teach that thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like just give a go. And obviously, like, there's people feel like, oh, I need credibility or whatever, or haven't studied. Like, you don't have to go to college to get a bachelor's, you know? Just if you learn something and you've actually taken action and just tested it, that's okay. You know, that little bit of knowledge will help you use that as a stepping stone to learn and grow and teach something else. Because 100%, like, we're always going to be learning. Even when you die, you're going to be learning on the other side, I believe. So, it's true that when, you know, people, you learn something, it's like, wow, there's so much more. So always, that's why I always have an open mind. I mean, and because don't put anything in a box or put yourself in a box, because you're going to limit yourself. And you don't want to do that, because you just want to be open and observe the world.
You made a good point there about being open-minded to learning new things, but also that when you have learned something and you have tested it, it's important then to, if you feel like you want to share it, you can just stick the caveat on the end of saying, I have done this, I have tested it, it has worked for me. Or you can say, I'm still learning this, and this is what I have learned. Because I think many people, I'm sure you address this in some of your videos too, where they go in and say, or you feel like this sometimes when you're making the videos, which is, I've learned something, but should I really be sharing this? Do I really know enough about this? And they feel a bit deceptive. This is what I've definitely felt in the past, of you get this kind of, I don't know how I'd term it, some kind of expert fraud imposter syndrome level stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's going, well, I know this thing. I haven't done it enough to call myself an expert. I don't feel like an expert, but at the same time, I know it's valuable potentially for other people. And to get over that hurdle for myself is really difficult, but I can't imagine what it's like for you who makes courses regularly. Or is this something that you've just kind of accepted is going to be part and part of the work?
Yeah, I've accepted that, you know, this is like, obviously I'm constantly learning and I'm always, you know, putting content out and stuff like that. But if I'm constantly growing myself, then I know that it's going to be okay to constantly like keep, you know, pushing and teaching and things like that. But yeah, once again, it's all about like mindset. Like, you got to see yourself as like, obviously you want to be the best, you want to be excellent at what you're doing. Like, you want to learn the ropes. If you want to be a design expert, okay, go learn about how to design properly. You know, if you have to go to an agency, then learn it. If you need a mentor, then get a mentor, buy books, get course, all that stuff. Like, it's in a constant state of like grabbing what you can. It's like, I remember this one analogy, and someone said, it's like you grab, it's like a bee. You grab honey from different places and you build your own hive up, sort of thing. But yeah, hopefully that sort of answered your question. I didn't really get it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I know what you're saying in terms of, if you are constantly learning and you are making that very clear, you are on a journey to learn and to share, then you're never going to feel like a fraud, because you're always learning as well. And you recognize that the people who watch your content are learning too. So you're all kind of in this together. And it to run on your beehive analogy, you could say that you are one of the worker bees in the big hive, and all the other people are doing the same thing. Or maybe you're like a lieutenant, and you're kind of helping the other ones build their hive. So it's that, hopefully that kind of ties that all together for people listening at home. And something kind of leaning towards, that's the more of the mindset side, but I want to, if you don't mind, dive into some more of the nitty gritty stuff about some of the digital products and courses. You mentioned Dustin Lee, I believe his name, and how he helped inspire you to do digital products and courses. But obviously, this is a skill that you've built up over many years. And obviously the back end of that, the nitty gritty, the money side, the admin, the editing, all that type of stuff, I don't think people are fully aware of or even understand. So if you don't mind, let's talk about your latest course, because it's probably the most fresh in your mind, of some of the back end for that. So when you're coming up with these ideas for courses, for content, how long does that kind of take for you to pull all of this together before you even start recording?
So typically it starts off by planning, and, you know, I try and aim for one course every like 2 months. If I could do one a month, that would be great. But obviously I've got client work and other projects that I'm working on. So it's like, I got to balance stuff. And, you know, sometimes I get a bit distracted, you know, I might play, you know, computer games or whatever, but if I stay on task and keep taking action, I know I'm going to get it done. And planning really helps me, so I can stay focused and I know what I'm going to be teaching. And Skillshare used to set like a Google Doc where you'd like plan the description, plan the modules, plan all these things. But typically it'll take about, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of, you know, researching, gathering insights from my community and my audience. So I'll start posting content on Instagram and LinkedIn and things, and start asking for feedback. People will DM me, people will say, I always ask for feedback and suggestions on anything, pretty much. Even on my YouTube videos, I'm like, oh, let me know what you want to see, you know, and just be honest, like what, or if I, or I go on Quora. That's another site as well where I do research and I see the questions people are asking and see how I can, you know, use that and put it in a course. But yeah, so it'll take about, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of researching. And then, I typically take about 2 to 3 days of, you know, recording. If I can do it in one day, I'll try and do it one day. But typically because I'm doing longer courses now, you know, up to the 2-hour, 3-hour mark, it takes a bit longer. And then I typically will edit in a whole half day or one day, and just in one go. So I try and batch everything out instead of just breaking it all up. And typically I'll do it at the start of the weeks or the end of the week. So like, you know, a Thursday, Friday, or a Monday. And then the middle of the week is for like client work or other things. But yeah, it is very time consuming. And obviously I've built my audience and built all this over the past 3 years. So it's easier for me now because I had that audience. But when I first started, it was like, you know, it was just shorter classes and I was just trying to build my, my profile. But there's a lot of time involved, in developing it, but yeah, it can take up to a solid month to get like to design a really quality course.
Yeah. And I think that's a completely reasonable length of time because obviously you are then leaving it up there forever. It is evergreen. Providing you're not doing something like, I believe it's Dan something, the Adobe certified instructor dude.
Yeah,
he obviously has to do stuff that updates. He works with software that updates all the time.
Yes.
So you have to remake the courses or add additional modules to them. But if you're making something that is evergreen, or at least is applicable forever, then you don't have to worry about how long it takes so much because obviously it's going to be there and potentially making you money forever.
Yeah.
Or as long as Skillshare exists, which I think they'll be around for a little while. Yeah. And so when... That makes a lot of sense because obviously you put in that effort up front and then you reap those rewards later.
Yes.
So at this stage, obviously you mentioned at the beginning you started with shorter courses, editing that all yourself. How come you still edit all of that yourself now rather than, say, record all the footage and send it to somebody else to do? Is the cost benefit not there yet, or is it a case of that you still really want to have your hand on it to say, this is my course, I've edited this, I know where... the perfection sits, so to speak.
I enjoy designing and I enjoy creating and being part of that whole process. I just feel like more fulfilled and be like, I created this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously it helps me improve my process and my efficiency. So I have workflows that I improve on constantly. So if someone else is doing it and, you know, I have to manage that person, I have to manage all the files and stuff. And yeah, I just feel like you can get miscommunication. Especially if you're dealing with people in third world countries that don't may not speak English. But obviously, like, you know, you can get people on Upwork and Fiverr and all those sites. But I just feel like I like getting my hands dirty and getting in there. And it's just a lot faster because I have a PC, I got two monitors and I got a fast PC. I just do everything really quickly and I work fast. So I feel like I can do it a lot quicker than paying someone else. Because they're not, you know, if they have to be revisions or if there's something that's messed up or whatever, then it will just take longer. And I feel like it would just drag out.
For sure. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's a very common thing with creative people is that you like to still have your hands dirty. And there are some types of people who more focus on that business side. They're more interested in growing the business and then doing less of the getting your hands dirty. But I think it kind of plays back to the remote working nature we talked about at the start, which is that, more people are working from home and more people are going to need to be doing everything themselves or at least going to enjoy that. I think that's kind of potentially a good side effect of this, but it's good to hear that you are still got your hands in it because I'm sure many people, particularly some of the higher level Skillshare stuff, they're getting to the point now where they can farm it out to 10 people in a team and it's done in 2 days. But with your stuff, it's very clear then that you put that effort in, which is I think quite important, especially as a teacher, because it shows that you care or care a
definitely
lot.
Yeah, 100%. I do care about people and I care about, you know, my students. I care about people, you know, and beginners, because a lot of my audience is beginners and they need help, they need guidance, you know, they need someone to, you know, lead them. And yeah, I just feel like, you know, having more that control over it, I just feel like I can, you know, add my craft and add my love and add my effort and energy into it. And it's just, it comes out a lot a better product because I know that I've put everything, all my resources into it. And I just feel like it just comes out a lot better in the end. But yeah, I love it. It's fun. And obviously like it goes back to it depends on your goals as well. Like if you want to scale if you want to run an agency, like my goal is not to run an agency. Like I like being agile and nimble and small. Like obviously it's just me at the moment. But obviously my wife will probably be helping me and, you know, I might get one other person eventually, but I just feel like it's just, you want to minimize expenses, you know what I mean? So that's one of the things.
Especially in these times.
Yeah, especially, yeah. 100%, man. So I'm going to cut down on that expenses, man.
Yeah, loo rolls are going to be $300. Yeah. But yeah, it totally makes sense. And especially to hear that you, that's your vision. Because that was going to be what I asked you about next, was where do you see yourself going in the next few years? Obviously, at the moment, you're using platforms like Skillshare and Creative Market. Many people would also say that using another person's platform is always detrimental to your content. I've seen that you've updated your website seemingly fairly recently and built out the branding for that too. So where do you see kind of the direction you're going to be going in the next, I don't know, obviously excluding what's happening with the global pandemic at the moment, but in the ideal world, what's going to be Jeremy in the next 2 to 3, 4, 5 years? What's going on with you?
Definitely. Well, I feel like obviously I want to change a few things around. I want to build my own platform. So obviously I have a Teachable account, and I want to put my own courses and products on my own store and my own platform. Obviously, I'll leave it on those other platforms as well, because that brings in students and that brings brand awareness as well. So I feel like that's important. But I just want to expand it and like have just more control. And obviously, it will it'll increase the revenue as well. But like, it was actually funny. This guy on YouTube, he commented on my video about, I think yesterday or the day before, and he was like, "Oh, I heard bad things about Skillshare. I don't trust it. Do you have your course on your own platform or your own site?" And I'm like, "Oh, nah, not yet. I'm working on it," right? And he's like, but I'm like, Skillshare is very trustworthy, blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't trying to convince him, but I was just trying to show the benefits. He's like, "Yeah, nah, I don't really trust it. But, you know, let me know when you have your course on your own platform." And then I'm like, wow, this is an opportunity. I really should do this. She put my courses on a Teachable and link it to my own site, which is what many other people do. Like if you see the future, they use Teachable for their courses and stuff like that. And I feel like that's important. But obviously, I believe that my business is going to keep expanding and keep growing exponentially. Because obviously it's online, like YouTube and Skillshare, it's evergreen. So it just keeps growing. Even if it's slow, it still grows. But yeah, I just want to expand into, you know, some other sites, see where how I can, you know, increase my revenue. I want to obviously do some more affiliate marketing. Well, not marketing, but have referral links to generate more income for my business as well, which I feel like is very important. And I also want to start doing more coaching as well. I feel like I've had recently a bit of demand for that, you know, private coaching. Also want to go into more of a group coaching thing as well. And I see an opportunity there to start doing that and help people on a one-to-one level. But yeah, that's where I'm heading, and I'm just going to be growing and expanding. Obviously going to stay nimble, and just see how I can make things, you know, a lot faster and produce more content and on multiple platforms.
Yeah, I think getting stuff on your own website is a really good idea. And I think that generally is the way to go. I've never heard someone say that Skillshare, they don't like it. They've heard bad things about it. I mean, they literally give you 2 free months. And I'm going to plug this here. You can get 2 free months of Skillshare in the description if you want to go see whether it's bad or not. Like full transparency, just go log in and see for yourself. Like it's completely free if you want those months. And that, I've never heard someone say that before. That's very strange.
I was like, this is weird. Like, are you serious? Yeah, like, he wasn't a robot. It seemed like a real person on YouTube. And I was like, okay, that's weird.
Very weird. I mean, there is some trash on Skillshare. I will admit to that. There is some absolute garbage.
There's trash everywhere though.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever platform, man, there's always going to be people that are just trying to make money, or like I've seen people rip off people's videos on YouTube and put it on Skillshare. Like one example was Stephen Bradbury, amazing lettering artist. He has awesome tutorials on YouTube. Literally, I saw someone rip off the video and put like a robotic voice, voiceover, and like put it, and it had like 1,000 students. And then I flagged it and I told him to take it down, because I'm like, this is not this person's. And they had like a fake name or whatever. I was like, what the heck? So people are just trying to make money, or they're, you know, there's dodgy people everywhere. But you know, you have the power of choice to choose who you want to listen to and what voice you want to heed to, because yeah. Some people actually care, and some people are just trying to, you know, make money and exploit people.
That's the most important thing, though, especially with platforms where content is hosted from other people is that you have to be aware that there are millions of people or thousands of people teaching on this website. So you have to pick and choose. Like that, there has been many times where I've gone into a course and I've been like, I cannot stand this person's voice. Or yeah. The content that they do is really bad and really slow. Or the way they've structured the class is bad. So I've gone somewhere else. Like, and that's the choice point. But I think your idea of getting stuff on your own website, building that platform out, having your own courses is vital. Not just for the future of your business, but for revenue income, like diversifying that. And then also making sure that your people, your audience, your followers know where to find you. Because I think that's often a big issue is how spread out we are on social and all these other platforms, that it can be nice to have your own little hub, your own little hive.
Yes, that's it, man. You got it, bro. It's good to have your own beehive where you can, you know, see what's happening, see what's moving. It's just a lot better.
And now something kind of, I'm not sure whether this would be, you might have an opinion on this, but I've noticed people talking a lot about, Dave Tallis posted something recently about the future of online education. And obviously he was referring that into the point of coronavirus and everyone working from home. But there are potential changes and big landscape shifts in online education at the moment. We have schools doing Zoom calls with 50 people and they're just doing that from home instead, kind of like homeschooling stuff. And do you see any big potential landscape shifting points for the online education space coming? Any trends or things popping up that are grabbing your attention?
Well, there's so many platforms. I have a lot of people reach out to me, like different e-learning sites all the time. Like, oh, I've seen your courses. Can we put them on our site and we'll pay this amount or whatever to license it or whatever? E-learning is the way to go. Like even, there was a statistic in the US that said by 2030 or 2040 or something that like 50% of the workforce will be remote. So with the increase of technology, which I know it's going to get better, and with the power of AR and VR and all these things, it's like, it's going to become the norm. You know what I mean? Like, why do you have to pay to go to a building when you can learn from the comfort of your home? You know what I mean? So I feel like there is like e-learning is going to increase and there's going to be probably more demand for more specialized topics, and universities are probably going to start to migrate. So that could be like a client service as well, like helping them migrate. Or I saw recently a job, because sometimes I go on certain freelance sites, some in Australia and stuff, and there was one for like online instructor to create like courses and create like topics, but it's not for yourself, it's for like a school like place or uni or college or whatever it is. So it's like there's people going to be out there that need someone to create courses and content and do the graphics and stuff. So if you can definitely get in that online space, in the digital space and e-learning, it's definitely, I feel like it's just going to keep increasing. It's not going to decline. And I feel like it's going to become the norm.
I agree with you. Especially with AR, VR, obviously VR is still quite expensive at the moment, but with the VR stuff, it's really great to see how people are connecting with that at the moment. And also that it provides, obviously we're all different types of learners, so it provides like the physical side, the visual side, and the audio side. So some people really love learning from books or audiobooks or whatever. Yes. But I think that VR, I think you're right, is also going to be a big component. I mean, we've also got Neuralink coming from Elon Musk at some point, so we're all going to have chips in our heads too, which is even better.
Elon's cool, man. He's bringing out the interesting tech.
All the big guns. So Jeremy, thank you so much for being on today's podcast. I think there's a lot of value in here that our people are going to be absolutely clawing at, because you're going to be getting messages, I hope, about all this. And I highly recommend checking out Jeremy's courses on Skillshare and through the links in the description. Now, Jeremy, where can people find you online?
You can find me everywhere, pretty much. So you can find me on YouTube. If you search Jeremy Mirror Design, I have a channel, over 250 videos and tutorials which you can learn from. I'm also on Skillshare, LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm also on Behance and Dribbble, but I don't typically use those. And you can check out my website at jeremymirror.com. You can get a free brand identity guide if you just sign in with the email. I hate spam, but I love, you know, sharing tips and techniques and helping you guys. But yeah, that's where you can find me. Just search my name and most likely I'll pop up somewhere.
So I highly recommend Jeremy's content, whatever level of skill you are at, because he's not just helping those at beginner level, but also with more advanced techniques and skills and tips as well. So make sure you go and check out that. All the links are down in the description. And if you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts or a platform you can review the show, please leave us a 5-star review and I will check it out in the next solo episode and read those live on the show. As always, you can check out the sponsors for today's show, which are Skillshare and the Logo Package Express plugin. Get those down in the description. Save yourself some money, get some free months. You know the deal. The links are there if you want to invest in yourself for the future. Thank you very much to Jeremy for coming on the show today, and we'll see you guys same time next week. Bye for now.